Well, here we are, dragging our lifeless zombie carcasses across the finish line of 2024 as we slowly slip into an eggnog and sugar cookie-induced coma. Oh, wait, just me? All right, we did it. We survived till 25. So now what? That is the question on so many creatives' minds nowadays. How do we navigate this new media landscape? Where do we fit into this new future driven by content creators, endless short-form content, and the emergence of AI? How can we sustain our livelihoods if there's no longer enough reliable work coming our way? Do we have to all start over? If you are struggling to navigate the uncertainty of 2025 and beyond, I think that my brand new mastermind program, it might be a good fit. Starting in January, I'm launching the next cohort of this year-long program where I'm going to be working in a small group of 10 students where we are completely redefining our career paths from the ground up. If you consider yourself a creative badass and you're interested in joining this career boot camp where we can get your career in the best shape of your life, I'd love to chat with you one-on-one to see if this is the right fit for you. To learn more, visit optimizeyourself.me/mastermind. Again, that is optimizeyourself.me/mastermind. Let's talk about if total career transformation is on your bingo card in 2025. One more time, optimizeyourself.me/mastermind to learn more about the program and schedule a Zoom chat with yours truly. And now on to today's episode. My name is Zach Arnold, and I'm a former Hollywood film and television editor turned career strategist and the creator of Optimize Yourself, where I help artists, creatives, and storytellers just like you design the more balanced, more sustainable, and more fulfilling creative career that you deserve. In a nutshell, I'm Tim Ferriss meets Ted Lasso, minus the mustache, because I am obsessed with both learning everything I can about optimizing human potential while also inspiring you to realize yours. If you are ready to step outside your comfort zone, let's dive right in and unlock the optimized version of you. Hello, and welcome to the Optimize Yourself podcast, where I share honest and candid conversations with best-selling authors, world-class athletes, Hollywood legends, elite experts in a variety of fields, as well as everyday people that are achieving extraordinary things. It means the world to me that with all the podcast choices out there, you have chosen to invest your valuable time, energy, and attention with me. Now, before we get started, don't forget to visit optimizeyourself.me/podcast so you can subscribe, leave a review, and so you can also download your unique customized podcast playlist where I'm going to send you the 5 best expert interviews from our archives to help you achieve your specific goals. So on that note, without further ado, let's get right to today's guest. Hello, and welcome to Hot Seat Friday, where I give you an inside glimpse into the world of the Optimizer community. Every Tuesday and Thursday morning, I host office hours live via Zoom, where I conduct a series of one-on-one coaching sessions and I help a student workshop whatever challenge they're facing next. We cover topics such as networking and outreach, workshopping resumes and websites, preparing for job interviews, designing career paths, and a multitude of challenges beyond just career growth, including time management and productivity, building and optimizing creative workflows, mindset, burnout, and so much more. These bite-sized 25-minute sessions are jam-packed with practical and actionable strategies that you too can use right away to design the more rewarding, the more fulfilling, and the more sustainable creative career that you deserve. If after listening, you're interested in joining the Optimizer community and having the opportunity to sit on the hot seat yourself, and I promise it's not as scary as it sounds, visit optimizeyourself.me/optimizer to learn more. Again, that's optimizeyourself.me/optimizer. All right, moving on to our second session, we have Brett. So Brett, you set a very, very high bar for this hot seat today because you said that the result that you were hoping to achieve at the end of this hot seat session was euphoria. Very high bar for me today.
Yeah. I always set that high bar. I don't know if make sure you keep reading them. I'll always have some really ridiculous.
See, you're testing me to see if I read it or not. I read it. So what is our hot seat topic in which by the end of the next 25 minutes, I will leave you in a state of euphoria?
I'm already halfway there. So it's my resume, and then we can take a quick look at my resume. So this is the first time you're looking at my stuff. So I just want to get started. You know what I mean? So feel free to rip into it. The about me is kind of my older version of about me. We can go over that later. Do you see it? Are you got it up?
Yep. I've got it in front of me right now.
Okay.
So you just literally want to dive right in, screen share, and let's just tear this baby apart. We just want to do...
let's go.
So this is essentially version 1 of resume teardown.
Yeah.
Ooh, the session's been a long time coming. I'm going to give you first impressions. This is literally stream of consciousness. Other than opening the document 2 minutes before office hours, I have not looked at this at all. So I'm giving you the most fresh perspective I can right now.
Okay.
First immediate response, it is way too busy. Way too busy. It needs to be way simpler. You need at least 35% less words on this page. It is way, way, way too busy. And it's too hard for me to be able to understand the story of it very quickly.
Okay.
Simplify, simplify, simplify. That is by far my biggest note to start with, is that you must simplify.
I'm going to take that as your first note. I'll have follow-up questions when you have a second note.
No, of course. There are a lot of ways that we can answer the question, how do I simplify?
I know, exactly. But let's go to your next thing.
That's my very first impression. Without a shadow of a doubt, I'm confident this needs to be simpler.
Yeah.
Because right now it's very, very hard to read, which is my second note. And it's going to be kind of adjacent or in addition to the first note. Don't make me read your resume. I want to be able to skim it. Right now, I feel like I have to read it.
Oh.
So statistically speaking, you've got 8 seconds. You have 8 seconds for me to look at this and make a decision. Do I want to keep reading or does this go on the no pile? And if I don't understand the gist of the story in 8 seconds and I can't figure out at least where is the information that I'm looking for, this is probably going to go on the no pile unless there's something that pops off the page so brilliantly that it's like, well, I mean, if you've worked at Mob Scene, I don't give a shit how much information you have in your resume. We need to meet, right? So given the level of quality of companies you work for, the Refinery, Motion, Mob Scene, Effects, that alone, if the right person sees those and it's the right context for the work you want to do next, you're probably going to get an interview from that alone. But I want to make it easier to find the right things and I want to make the story clearer and I want this to be skimmable. And right now I feel like I have to do too much reading.
Good.
Right. So that's, again, it's kind of, you know, in addition to the first note, it's not a totally different note. But those are kind of be my first impression is make it simpler and make it easy to skim rather than read.
Right.
Right. As far as the look of it, as far as like the font choice, the layout in general, this feels very professional. It feels like you're obviously a seasoned professional. So I'm not going to go too deep into format font choice. Well, is it supposed to be two columns or one, et cetera, et cetera. I really don't care about any of that stuff. What I care about is story.
Right.
Right. So having said that, now we're going to dive into the story. So this is going to be less about the superficial first impressions. All of this is going to sound familiar because you are doing a deep dive on all this in a branding class. Who is the audience of this resume?
This current resume would be for companies that are making marketing material, promo, probably leaning toward broadcast from my experience. So, you know, when you get into the Motion, Refinery, all them, it's shows, movies, but usually for broadcast cut down to 30s, 20s, 15s, 10s. I'd like longer format. And with some of the ad agencies, they put me into content. So that extended it a little bit. So ad agencies and companies that do marketing for broadcast, I think.
Gotcha. So
how do you feel about that answer?
it's a good place to start.
Okay.
I would say the way I want to refine it a little bit more, but what I like is that you didn't say it's for advertising companies. Like, okay, like that could be you doing Instagram videos for a lipstick brand, right? So the idea that you've gotten specific with your audience, now I understand that it's not just for, you know, trailer agencies or, you know, promo agencies. It's specifically for those that are doing promos for broadcast, short form specifically, not long form content, right?
This is one version, right? This isn't necessarily because I have another target that's coming up and hopefully we'll get to that before you're done.
Okay, good. And I'm glad that you mentioned that because one of the things that I talk about with resume teardowns is the likelihood is very slim that you have a resume.
Right.
In this day and age, you really have to tailor your resume to your audience so they really understand you are the right fit for us, right? So it's really all about who is this resume about? It's not about you as much as it's about the person that has problems and they're seeking solutions.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So in your case, and this is, again, we're going to kind of go back to the basics. Based on the specific audience of this resume, knowing that it's trailer agencies that are doing broadcast promos, cutdowns for movies and TV, do you think you need an experience-based resume, a skills-based resume, or a hybrid?
My first instinct was to say experience.
Mm-hmm. So this goes back to the conversation that I had with Leonardo a while ago. And I very specifically remember this being an aha moment for you because you mentioned it to me. When we were on his homepage, the question I asked is trying to determine what should the next button be. Does your work speak for itself? Right. And in this case, does your experience speak for itself based on the audience of this resume?
I'm going to say my gut instinct says yes.
Yep. My gut instinct absolutely says yes. It goes back to where I started. As soon as I see the refinery, motion, mob scene, and effects, you're clearly playing at the A-list level in the broadcast, theatrical, promo, short form space. You're very clearly playing at the A-list level. And I know all these companies. I've worked for Mob Scene. I know one of the top creative director producers at Motion, been friends with them for 20 years. And I know the people that founded the refinery. So I know this world well. I haven't been in it for a long, long time, but I know the level of the game that these companies are at. And if you've worked for them, you want an experience-based resume.
Right.
Right. So if I'm going to skim this in 8 seconds or less, how easy is it for me right now, looking at all of this, to immediately see the refinery, motion, mob scene, and effects?
Well, okay. So off your first note, first thing I think is that little skills section can totally be moved, I guess, down. It seems weird to have. I almost feel like having the skills thing to me, like I'm also, this is, let me just give you a little quick backstory. And this happens to everybody. And this is mm-hmm. why I will say your classes and education is so important. And I would recommend that everybody have something they do like every year of their career rather than waiting until they get laid off and then deciding 2 decades down the road when they haven't put their resume out there to fix it all up. Some of this design is built off of somebody retooling my resume for me as I'm leaving FX. Mm-hmm. So skills, that doesn't mean much to me. I don't care because truthfully, I can tell through my experience, I've got those skills.
Good. I'm so glad you brought that up.
So is that a section to lose? I mean, it'd be redundant.
I'm going to let you determine that, but let me give you an example that may have heard me share before, but I want to make sure that it's a part of this specific hot seat.
Okay.
So if we're talking about an experience-based resume versus a skills-based resume or some hybrid in between, let me give you the example of me putting together my resume and the opportunity that I'm going after. My audience is a major streamer or a major studio that's putting together a premium streaming drama / comedy / action film or TV series that's about warring karate dojos, right?
Right.
I can hand them a post-it note in poor handwriting that says, I edited Cobra Kai, and I can probably get an interview. Why?
Experience.
Because I've done it before.
Right.
So in that case.
And it's literally in their wheelhouse. Yeah.
Exactly. So in this case, if I were putting together a resume, what I have a skill section, avid media composer, cutting narrative, working with montages, good with music. What I need those things. If Cobra Kai is the number one credit at the top of my resume, and I'm going to edit the exact same kind of show.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, no.
So if you're looking at it, if you're sending this to a creative director or an executive at the refinery, motion, mob scene, or similar, do you need to say my skills are writing, producing, directing, marketing, visual storytelling, team leadership, train and mentor? Nope.
Yeah, no.
Right? Because it's not about you.
Right.
None of that's relevant. What I want to know is what am I reading on this page that's going to make our work better, is going to make us more money.
Yeah.
Right. What problems are you going to solve for us that's going to make our work better? That's the story that we want on the page. And if all it says is I've worked for the refinery, motion, and mob scene, again, I'm probably at least going to interview you because you've clearly played the game at the level that we want you to play it.
Right.
All right. So that when I say streamline, now, when you're asking, well, what does that mean? Does it just mean that I need to cut words out? Does it mean I need to change my font sizes? What it means is lose everything that doesn't tell the story that I've done the work before that you want me to do next.
Okay.
So the next thing I was going to say, which is again, going to be an extension of don't make me read it. We don't need the vast majority of what you have at the top of the page.
Yeah.
Where this should be, this story, and we don't need to get into the nuances of what's written here because that in and of itself is probably 1, 2, maybe even 3 hot seats. Knowing you've gone to the through the branding class, this is probably pretty stellar already. I'm specifically not reading it right now because I don't want to all of a sudden get sucked into it. whatever the story is in this top paragraph, and you have an entire paragraph of text at the top, this story should be in your outreach email and or on your website if you're sending people to a website. This should not be in your resume. Don't make me read.
Okay, so can I ask you something? So that, what you're saying right there, said across the board. Like, okay, for this resume, for me doing broadcast promo where we both agree that my experience is going to speak to them most, mm-hmm. right? So if I'm making big edits right here, skills gone, the about me gone, all the experience moved to the top, right? That's my first edit on this thing, yes. that I think.
Yeah, so the simplest way to buy yourself space is, at least for now, you'll lose the entire paragraph, but I want to add one statement at the top. But I think the skills can completely go. And if there are things in there that would be valuable, we can incorporate those into the results that you've gotten for these specific companies. But I don't think you need to lead with skills because they're very generic, especially given how high level your experience is. And I would lose the entire paragraph. But I want to see if we can come up with a very, very succinct value proposition. So when I read it, I know exactly what the story of this resume is, and I know how you become valuable to the target audience. And you kind of sort of already said it, right? And it could be something along the lines of, I work with high-level trailer and marketing agencies to create amazing short-form promos, cutdowns, fill-in-the-blank. Now I understand exactly where you specialize and how you can be useful to me. I don't have to read anything.
And you're talking like literally like maybe a sentence.
Yes, I'm talking a sentence at the most, ideally a phrase that's going to take up no more than right. 2 lines. So essentially it's saying, here's the story on this page. Here's how I can be valuable to you.
Well, just so you know, my about me's are going to be about them. Like I'm mm-hmm. going to be real direct about it. And good. And in other words, it's going to be, you need da 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 da. I can do that for you. Let's talk. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm yep. literally going to have in there, Zach. So that's what you'll yes, see on the next one.
But make sure to
one.
Keep it as short as humanly possible.
Right? Didn't that sound short? Da 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 da. That was short.
I would cut out a da da da. Maybe one okay. da da da.
I'll get rid of one da da da.
But yes, but the mindset that you're in, if this is about you and it's not about me, that's absolutely the right mindset. Yeah. I just want to make sure that it doesn't become a similarly sized about page or about section, even if it is about them. I don't want them to read anything. I want them to be able to skim this entire thing. And they're like, I get it. Let's bring Brett in. Let's meet with him.
Okay. That said, all my resumes from now on should just have a quick boom bullet. Okay. So for this one, I'm going to have a quick one. This larger thing, you said I can move to like a website opening or whatever.
Correct. A website opening, or if you're not sending them to a website, you can be telling this story in your outreach email. Maybe not word for word what's on there, but you can be telling that story. But if I were to just read the first sentence, it says, important step first. I'm a husband, a father, a movie and stand-up comedy enthusiast. If I'm a trailer agency and a creative director, tell me why I care about any of that.
Because you love movies and stand-up comedy. No, I got you.
Right? I'm always assuming that this is the most cold-hearted person and all they care about is getting results. Hopefully somebody reads that and they say, oh, that's really great that you're a father. Like, I love that you're doing stand-up comedy. You sound really interesting and I want to meet with you. But ultimately, I want this resume to speak for itself and assume the other person, all they care about is themselves and they just want to hire you to do the job. And ideally, you can work with people that are not like that. But yeah. Right now, the very beginning of it is setting the tone. This resume is about me.
Right.
And I want it to be about the person that's reading this. Your creative director, executive producer, whoever it is at one of these agencies that says, I need a solid A-list level promo editor to do our short form promos and cutdowns.
Got you.
Right.
Okay. So shortly about skills completely gone, or should I move it to, this is going to sound stupid. I'm just going to say it though. It's never stopped me before when I want to say something, something stupid about
which
that.
I appreciate, by the way.
Yeah. So I one, obviously we're both from the school of one single page for your resume. Yes.
Ideally it depends on the story. Some people I would say a 2-page resume doesn't hurt. So for me, it's not, it has to be one page or it has to be a 325 word or less outreach email. the story needs to be as long as necessary to tell the right story. Okay. Based on what I'm looking at now, you can definitely do this in a page. You do not need 2 pages, but I don't want to create the blanket statement. All resumes should be a page because it depends. In your case, your resume can be a page.
Okay. Notice that it's a page now, right?
Correct.
We're going to lose skills. We're going to shorten about awards. We can now. Well, I guess, okay, so am I just increasing font size? Is this more than enough experience? Because notice how I said, for further experience, please go to my LinkedIn, because there's more stuff there. One of the things I mentioned, and so what do you think? Just lose that and bring up the font, make it bigger so that we fill out the page?
So first of all, I don't want to get into font choices and styling yet, because we still have more story to talk about. I'd rather get the story right than we finesse font size and layout to make it all look pretty and make it skimmable.
Okay.
So first of all, yes, we're gonna drastically shorten the type that's, or the copy that's at the top, and we're gonna lose that little banner that has like all the skills, right?
Right.
If we're gonna continue the conversation about those skills, I asked the same thing about your footer, where it says Avid Media Composer, Adobe Premiere Pro, Adobe After Effects, Adobe Photoshop, Adobe Creative Suite, color correction, finishing and delivery. If you're going to be doing short form promos and cutdowns for a major agency, how much of that do they either already know and assume, or they just don't care about?
It kind of comes up, you know, because they might be using their system. So I want them to know. I have extensive experience with Avid Media Composer. Adobe Premiere has been something in the last, 4 years, 5 years or whatever that I've been working with. So it's newer. Adobe After Effects. I mean, we're getting into that generalist stuff. So people are starting to ask us about finishing and doing graphics. Adobe Photoshop's so old, and I don't know that anybody, you know, but Creative Suite kind of covers everything. Mm-hmm. I have access to Creative Suite. I don't know every application in Creative Suite.
Yeah, nobody does.
Color correction, finishing and delivery. I mean, those are kind of broad, and that's just to let them know that, you know, I've overseen that. I've gone to the mix, you know, to my audio mix, and I can, you know, tweak and you know, I got an ear, but I'm not necessarily the technical person. Because now they even want you to mix it, you know, like in whatever the other Adobe one is, and finishing a delivery, color correction, and like, let me make your versions and all that stuff. You don't like any of that there, or what? Come on now.
That's not the story that you're telling at the bottom of your resume. The story that you just told me is that you have extensive experience across a variety of different software platforms, and you're comfortable with the entire end-to-end process. None of that is at the bottom of your page. The bottom of the page is bullet points: Avid, Premiere, After Effects, Photoshop, Creative Suite, color correction, finishing and delivery. There's no story there. Mm-hmm. Right? So let's say that I have my resume as an editor. It says Avid Media Composer. An assistant editor has their resume. It says Avid Media Composer. That's the same story. My knowledge of Avid Media Composer is completely different than an assistant editor's knowledge of Avid Media Composer. They don't tell a story.
Right.
And again, if it says that you've worked for The Refinery and Motion and Mobscene and Effects Networks, do I need to ask you in an interview, are you comfortable with digital NLEs? They're going to assume it. You're already playing the game at a high level. So let me use another analogy.
People have asked those, Zach. Like when I've had a couple of interviews, they're like, what software do you know? What things, you know what I mean? I mean, I guess maybe I leave it to that, right?
Here's my point. I want you to tell the right story that they want to hear. What they don't need to see are random bullet points of all the different software packages that we have.
Because I could be limiting myself too, right?
Exactly. But imagine you have one bullet point. Maybe it's even below your value proposition at the top. It says extensive experience and very comfortable with Adobe Creative Suite as well as Media Composer, and comfortable with the entire end-to-end workflow from editorial to color to audio to delivery. That's a story that they want to hear. You're not telling that story right now at the bottom of your page.
Okay. And just so you know, in the about me, I have a last line says something about guidance from inception to final deliverables, which is kind of like, you know, an end that kind of tells you that, right?
Correct, which is exactly why I go back to my first note. I never would have read that because there's way too much information here. But that's the story this person wants to read. If they're thinking our budgets have been slashed, we're getting way less work than we did a couple of years ago, we can't go to 4 different houses anymore. We can't say we're going to do an Instagram cutdown campaign for a movie and be going to all of our vendors. We need somebody that can do it all in the box. That's not the story that the bottom of your resume tells. But if you say that you're comfortable with all of that from inception to delivery, this is somebody that can be valuable to us.
Okay.
So it sounds like the story kind of is on the page. It's just getting lost in so much information.
Okay.
Right. So you can lose the entire bottom, okay, which is just basically another banner of skills, but you're still going to tell that same story, except now the story is going to be clear. So now the next area, if you're thinking, well, how do I make all this fit and stylize it? Again, I don't want to worry about font choices or font sizes yet. Going through all of your experience, looking at these bullet points, I want to know how much of this is telling the story. This is what I did at the job and these are my duties versus here are the results that I got for this company when they hired me.
I have become more aware of that. So there are results. This is very hard, by the way, to get the results because I am an editor who sat in an edit bay, not somebody who was sitting there looking at quantitative data, you know, on a regular basis. And I mean, that was one of the things where I kind of, again, I come back to the getting educated every year. In any place I was working at now, I would be constantly like logging monuments along the way, because when I got done with FX, it's like 15 years. Oh, what have you done? Let me think about it for a second, you know? So yeah, I did things like, okay, let's just go to this one at the top, Bark Bark, right? I did this a little documentary content, short piece that went along with a package that we did for Travel Texas. And I went and did some research on it and found that mine had had 500,000 views, my particular part of this campaign, and the entire campaign as a whole got 1.6 million out-of-state trips and $2.9 billion in visitor spending. They attributed to that. So I said, there are some numbers I'll put out there. The refinery, I got those multiple pieces of content in the short turnaround under budget. I always think all of those things are going to make people happy. And it prompted Hulu to finish with the agency for the first time, drawing in additional revenue. So they had not done a finishing. Hulu hadn't done finishing with them over there. And they decided, because we were under budget, let's just finish it there. Brought in some extra money for them. So that was another little thing. Some of these other ones get a little bit, you know, like skim down to CNN Films presented the prestigious 2022 Tribeca Film Festival. It's more prestige for me. I was trying to get acknowledgement of the name. I don't know. And then there's generic. So, drove audience engagement for highly anticipated and successful series adaptation. That's Bridgerton down there. I mean, drove it where, Brett? You know where to go.
Yeah. So there's a lot of good things that are already happening in these bullets. And there's some things that we want to definitely take a different approach. And again, it's always through the mindset of, does your audience care? Is this valuable to them? So what I love is the bullet that says, completed multiple pieces of launch content in a short turnaround and under budget. Not only was it under budget and was it quickly turned around, but Hulu actually said, let's finish this in-house, which drew an additional revenue, but ultimately it's not about the revenue. It's about, this saved the refinery money and it's made the refinery look really good.
Yeah.
Right. So if I'm either, let's say I'm the refinery, let's say that I'm Motion, let's say that I'm Obscene, let's say that I'm a competitor, and I see that coupled with at the top saying that I'm a highly experienced industry veteran that does cutdowns and promos, and I'm comfortable from inception to delivery, coupled with the fact that you've actually delivered this for a client, and that's what I need right now, you're an instant I want to meet with you.
Yeah.
That's the story that you're telling on this page.
And just so you know, but that's my limit. It's a little bit of my limitation though, because I don't have all the data on all these things. So
but you don't need all the data.
If you go down, you'll see. Okay.
So let's go to the other one that you said though, working for Mobscene, doing digital content for Bridgerton. Drove audience engagement for the highly anticipated and successful series adaptation. I have no idea what that means. What drove audience engagement? Because by the way, that's probably not up to you, right? Driving audience engagement is up to the Netflix marketing team that's using whatever you cut and their strategy for where they have all these different pieces and all the events that they're creating around it. That's about the marketing and publicity team. That has very little to do with your work. What I want to know, what did you do specifically that brought Mobscene value, not Bridgerton or Netflix?
Provided...
Don't try to write it yet. Let me ask you a slightly different question. If I'm Mobscene and I'm reading this and I forgot about this, or if I'm Mobscene's direct competitor, what did you do for Bridgerton and why do I care? I don't even know what you did for Bridgerton. It says Netflix digital content. What did you actually do for Bridgerton for Mob Scene?
Cut a piece of content about a popular piece of the story that in the books, this scene, this whatever, and it involved into one episode was very kind of like, I guess, a pivotal piece of the story, so that when this content came out, it was all about that part of the story, and that it would get the audience going, oh, that I remember that from the books. That's going to be then this season. Hell yeah. I can't wait to see it this season. Mm-hmm.
Do I know what the format actually looks like when you say I cut digital content? Do I know what you worked on? Be as specific as possible. Right now you're talking to somebody that knows this world. So know your audience. Oh. How would they speak? How would you describe what you did for Bridgerton to somebody that's really in the industry working for Mob Scene? Would they say, we're hiring you to cut digital content?
All right, you got me in a little bit of a quandary, and I'm puzzled because I do have problems with some of these terms. I just know that basically when I cut that piece of content, it only lived in a digital world. It wasn't for broadcast.
But if they were to have a list of deliverables, was this was a 3-minute BTS making of? Was it a 2-minute Instagram promo? Like, what do they actually call it? Because right now I don't understand what it is.
I would say it's probably more of a BTS because it interviewed the actors and they're talking about it. Okay, and we are showing like camera crews and stuff like that as well.
So there's a big difference between short form BTS content, long form BTS content versus promo versus, YouTube shorts. All these are very, very different in this world and they require different skill sets. How long was this piece?
It is, I think it's here. I can see it real quick. By the way, one of the cool things is if you click on the demo at the top, it'll take you to my webpage.
Which again, I never would have known. Where would I click?
See where it says demo? Yeah. See how it's clickable? Fancy, huh?
Fancy, but too clever and not clear. I had no idea that I would have had to click on that. Yeah. I had no idea.
I'll put a big finger going, hey, try clicking on this.
Yeah. There you go.
Which one are we talking about? Bridgerton?
Yes. So I want to know what specifically this piece was for Bridgerton.
Bridgerton is 3:19.
Great. A little over so 3 minutes. It was a 3-minute BTS making of. Which is way different than digital content.
Now, I actually spell out like a runtime like that or?
Yes, because then because there's a huge difference between a 3-minute behind the scenes piece and a 60-minute behind the scenes piece.
Okay.
Right. So this is me telling the story. I do short form content, not long form content.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. And even in your world of promos and cutdowns, 3 minutes is a long time in your world.
For me.
Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah. Right?
But if this were a 35-minute piece and you specialize in doing short form promos and cutdowns, I would say don't even have this on here because it doesn't tell the right story. But a 3-minute behind the scenes piece, it's still short form and it's still advertising and marketing related. But what it tells me is you have a little bit of versatility, which is going to be important nowadays because very few people are going to get hired to do one kind of thing. They're going to want somebody that can generalize to multiple different kinds of spots and pieces.
Okay.
But the point being that I want you to really change your mindset from something broad like Bridgerton digital content drove audience engagement for the highly anticipated and successful series adaptation. We immediately know you're just blowing smoke, right? So the first thing we're going to do is spell out what was the work, right? Cut a 3-minute behind the scenes making of featurette. Now I want to know something about the process that was valuable to Mob Scene. Right? Because Bridgerton is much bigger than you and your 3-minute promo. You probably knew that.
I didn't. I don't know. I feel like I kind of put it on the map.
Yeah. I'm sure that you had a lot to do with it, but let's just pretend for a second that others contributed to it as well. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
What did you specifically do for Mob Scene? And let me give you an example. What I might share that, and I can literally say Mob Scene because I used to work for Mob Scene when they first opened their doors. I worked for them over 20 years ago.
I know.
I did a multitude of long form behind the scenes featurettes. Yeah. And one of them I did for a movie that was called Flyboys. Okay. And they brought me in really last minute because they were having some story challenges and scheduling challenges. And they're like, listen, we're going to apologize in advance, but like, we kind of need you to start over on this thing. And we need it in like a week. Right. So they handed me all the material and I gave them the first version and I didn't get a note. They literally finished my first version. So if I were to say, cut a 15-minute behind-the-scenes piece for Flyboys, where we finished version one, what does that mean to Mopsine? Why is that valuable to them?
You save them time, budget, and got it delivered.
I saved them time and money because they didn't have to give me a single note.
Right.
And the creator, the head executive of the company that made Flyboys said, this is probably the best first version of any behind the scenes piece I've ever seen. We have no notes, finish it.
Yeah.
Right. That's tremendously valuable to Mopsine. That's the story that I would tell on the resume.
Now,
I wouldn't say digital content for Flyboys.
Yeah. For that piece, I don't actually know that I didn't have any notes.
No, I'm not saying that I want you to steal that, but that's the mindset that I want you to come at it with.
All right. But I don't, that's the thing. I don't know what value I have on that one.
Okay. So if you don't have value, then at the very least, spell it out very, very clearly what each of these pieces are that you're highlighting. Okay. If it literally said Mopsine, you know, did 3-minute behind the scenes for Hawkeye, Bridgerton, et cetera, et cetera. Now what I'm seeing is that you have experience with A-list level films doing 3-minute behind the scenes pieces.
Okay.
At the very least, I want to understand what you've done that's relevant to what I want you to do next.
Okay. So you at least want a little quick detail about what that is so that we just know what it is so that there is the value in that he does that also.
If it tells the story that I want you to do next, what you've already done.
Okay. Okay.
That's valuable to me as the person that's looking at this resume, because right now the story is not clear. So if we can make it clear, right? The story is, Mopsine does a lot of different stuff.
Right.
Right. So we know that they're A-list and you're playing at the top level in the industry as far as promos and marketing, but they have entire divisions of people that do short form behind the scenes, long form behind the scenes, TV promos, trailers, et cetera, digital content doesn't tell me anything. So I want to know what specifically have you done before if I want you to do the same thing next.
Okay.
That's where this becomes a stronger experience-based resume.
Okay.
So is that enough to at least get you started?
Yeah. So where there's not value, at least define what it is.
Correct. I don't want you to make up value.
Right.
Like, you know, what was able to help the Avengers generate $1.3 billion in global revenue. Like, yeah, that was all you, dude. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of stuff people put on there because they think they need to fill the space. Just tell me the story that you can do a good job on the thing that I want you to do next.
I'm sorry, then I have to ask one super fast question. Then does that mean the thing that I said about Bark Bark and those numbers, do you think that that's because I'm part of that team? The Travel Texas domestic advertiser generated.
Contributed to a campaign that influenced 1.6 million out-of-state trips and 2.9 billion in visitor spending. I asked the question again, when you say documentary content, what was this piece?
A short piece in which we follow a Nat Geo photographer as it's documenting the town for the magazine.
Sure. Okay, so now let me ask a very simple question that you can apply to almost all of this. How much did you, Brett, directly influence the results of 1.6 million out-of-state trips and 2.9 billion in visitor spending? How much did you directly have to do with that?
I had 500,000 people watch that piece.
Right.
Or but half a million times it got clicked.
Sure. But is that just because of the quality of your video, or is it because they have a really good marketing and publicity team and really strong social media?
They have a good marketing team and social media, but aren't I a part of that good team?
You are a part of it. But my question is, are you an interchangeable part where they would have gotten this anyways? Let me give you an example.
They could have done that. I mean, I don't know that the other editor's piece would have got as many clicks. You know what I mean? I don't know about that. Like that's
so the, and he, here's the, and this is where I really want to get into what impact did you directly have? If you were to say something along the lines of that this was the first short form documentary piece for Nat Geo that went viral, that has a lot to do with the quality of your work versus every single video that they show helps to generate 1.6 million out of state trips and 2.9 billion in visitor spending. I'm going to read that and I'm going to make very, very easy assumptions and quick assumptions. If the only thing I'm reading in this page, I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure you didn't have anything to do with that. What I want to know is what impact you had, and not just on the ultimate audience. What impact did you have for the company that you work for? Right. So again, going back to the Bridgerton example on Netflix, it wasn't that I was able to help build a global audience of viewers and make Bridgerton the number one show on the planet. It was that I was able to deliver version one of my promo and save Mob Scene time and money, which, again, I know you didn't do specifically. That's a hypothetical, but that's the mindset I want you to take. What impacted you working on this have for this person that's similar to the person that wants to hire you next?
Okay. I think I've got that here and there as examples, so I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. So I would say that once we get the next version put together, then we can probably get in a little bit more with a scalpel and a microscope. Right now, we're kind of taking a flaming machete at it.
That's okay. Cool. Sorry I went long.
That's all right. I allowed you to go long. That's on me. It's my job to time manage, not yours.
Okay.
So thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing the next version.